Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhaktivedanta ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Uttago Primanandi. Okay. So I have the KMVs for this section, so I'll give them to you now. If you have your pens, your paper, you can. Key memory verses for this section. I've been trying to find verses from Canto 8. That's why it's been taking time, but I've only found one which is quoted. So the others are Brahma Samhita verses. So Canto 8, chapter 22, verse number 9. Then Brahma Samhita, text 48, Brahma Samhita, text 49, Brahma Samhita, text 50. So these are the key memory verses for this section. So I have to let the other devotees know. Yes. These are the verses. Okay. So what did we discuss in last night's class? Chapter 22, text number 9. And the others are Brahma Samhita. 48, 49, and 50.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so what else did we discuss last night? Gajendra is offering various prayers to the Lord, and finally the Lord comes to him and delivers him. Now tonight we'll finish the chapter. Oh, sorry, no. We'll begin chapter 4. We'll go from verses 1 to 13, and we'll hear about the previous life of Gajendra and the crocodile. Who the crocodile was and who Gajendra was. Because in the Bhagavatam, these are not ordinary persons. And the Bhagavatam of the elephant or the crocodile is not ordinary. In other stories you hear, you know, crocodile, but these are extraordinary persons. So we'll hear some important lessons about who they were in their previous life. Okay, chapter 4, text number 1. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, "When the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigods, sages and Gandharvas, headed by Brahma and Shiva, praised this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra."
It is evident from this chapter that great sages like Devala Rishi, Narada Muni and Agastya Muni will sometimes curse someone. The curse of such personality, however, is in fact a benediction. Both the crocodile, who had been a Gandharva in his previous life, and Gajendra, who had been a king named Indrajinya, were cursed both because of... But both of them benefited. Indrajinya, in his birth as an elephant, attained salvation and became a personal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, and the crocodile regained his status as Gandharva. We find evidence in many places that the curse of a great saint or devotee is not a curse but a benediction.
So what are the points here?
Curse of a devotee is blessed in these words.
Any other points? Any other point?
The devotees of the Lord always wishes death for other
devotees. How do we understand this? Because I just heard that Mr. mentioned that the curse is benediction in disguise. But at the same time, if we compare it to others, like some of us are also going through the problems of anger. And if we compare that to the rishis in the past, there are so many rishis, the Vasamini, the famous word, the thing. There are so many other, even so many other rishis here. If they also give curses in the heat of anger, how do they?
Well, Devasa, as an example, Devasa is. He's like a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. Or he has some connection to Shiva. And then some Shakti is coming from Shiva. Something like that. So Devasa himself is like, he's in the mood of Shiva, which is like Ashutosh. So very quickly he erupts like that. Something, I think he's something to do with the mode of passion as well. Very much in the mode of passion. So that's why Devasa is famous for easily doing like that. But most of the sages, they are... I mean, Narada, because Narada sometimes gives curses, but he's fully controlled. So if he gives a curse, it's only because he wants to rectify the personality. Like, you know, the father will get angry with the child, generally. Sometimes you lose your temper, but generally the anger is there to assist. Any other points?
We see from all the customs of Krishna and Bhagavan, we know that the curse and then the person is suffering, then the outcome of that is to be a great lesson for all of us. So you see that the Maharaja took the first time to meet in the Manigriva Narakula, they know the curse and suffering, but they were, they all had the darshan of the Lord and then they bring out a lot of lessons.
So this is Prabhupada's basic point, and this is the basic point to draw out of this pastime, is that when the devotee becomes angry with us, or when a devotee corrects us, or when the devotee chastises us, it is for our benefit. Devotees do not rectify us. We're talking about advanced devotees, not just any devotee. You know, two devotees may argue or become angry with each other, neophyte devotees, that's different. But when a serious devotee or an advanced devotee, when they correct us or chastise us, it is for our benefit. In Srila Prabhupada, he said that himself and his god brothers, they preferred the chastisement or the correction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the praise. So when you become a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, you actually appreciate when someone corrects you. If someone's an advanced devotee, you appreciate that. Because it's good for you, because it decreases the false ego and it cleanses the consciousness. So when a devotee becomes a little bit advanced, we actually appreciate it if someone corrects us like that. So when a great devotee like this, when he gives some curse or some correction, it is only for the benefit. And you see all through the Bhagavatam, then I can put this. That you can see. No, because if you sit there, then they can see also. So it'll just make it easy. So you'll see in the Bhagavatam there are a number of curses which are given. But whenever the great personality is giving the curse, it is for the benefit of the person. And you see that the person always becomes benefited. And that should be our situation, that when we are corrected, we should improve. If a senior devotee, a senior Vaishnava, an advanced devotee, when he corrects us, then we should take it on board. We should accept the criticism. And we should rectify our consciousness. That's the point. Not that you get criticized and you just get upset or hurt or deflated or depressed or unenthused. But we should become enthusiastic, because it's an opportunity for us to advance. Even though it may be purifying, even though it may be difficult, even though our false ego may be hurt. I remember my spiritual master, he used to say to us, it's not easy to be around advanced devotees, because your false ego will become smashed. So the advanced devotee, he purifies us by his association, because he points out our defects. So we need to receive advanced association as much as we can. But it is purifying. It's not easy to be. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said that to us one time here in Melbourne, because he had a great deal of association with Srila Prabhupada. And he said to us, he said, it wasn't easy being with Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was very, he was a pure Vaishnava. So being with Prabhupada means you'd constantly be corrected. One time Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to Prabhupada in India, maybe Mumbai or somewhere, and he had a checkbook, and Prabhupada had a system. It was different to now, where Prabhupada would travel around the world and then come back to India. He'd go for 3 or 4 months travel and then come back to India. These days it's easy to communicate, but back then it was hard to communicate when Prabhupada was moving around. So Prabhupada had a system that he had to sign every check that was being spent by Tamal Krishna Maharaj in India. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the GBC. But he said actually Prabhupada was the GBC in India. Because Prabhupada, every check had to be signed by Prabhupada. So he said that was very difficult, because Prabhupada would go for 3 or 4 months. He'd have to work out where Prabhupada was, send the checks ahead. Prabhupada would arrive, sign the checks, and then send them back. So it would take weeks. So one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he went to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, maybe if you can just sign a number of checks and leave them here, right? And then I can just sign and pay for things. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, do you mind if I decide how to spend my money? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj just offered his obeisances and just kind of left the room. So he said it was intense being with Prabhupada. It wasn't easy, because when you're with advanced devotees, your false ego will become very apparent, because we don't notice we have a false ego. That's why it's called false ego. We don't notice it, but when we're with an advanced devotee, suddenly you notice, oh wait a minute, I have a false ego. It becomes apparent, right? And they remove the false ego, they purify the false ego. So you'll see in the Bhagavatam there are many examples of devotees being cursed or corrected, but this is the mercy of the Vaishnava. This is the mercy of the great devotee. And if you take the lesson properly, you will advance in Christian consciousness. But if you don't accept the chastisement, then you don't improve. So you'll see here all through the Bhagavad Gita, many examples, and all these personalities, they become purified, they improve. So who are some examples of the curses which are received? Which one? Yeah, Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva. Who else? Pariksit Maharaj. Which one? Jiva Goswami. Yeah, Jiva Goswami. Chitraketu. Yeah, that's a famous one. Riga. Yeah. Yeah, he was also cursed. Yeah. Yeah, so many, many powerful curses are given there. But you see, always there is an auspicious destination or an auspicious finish to the pastime. It always ends auspiciously. So you see, in this situation, Gajendra is cursed. Huhu, the king, he becomes the alligator. This will be explained.
Yeah.
So everything was auspicious. So when the senior devotee or the advanced devotee is correcting us, it is for our benefit. And it is not a negative thing. And therefore, Prabhupada said he preferred to get chastisement, because chastisement is for your benefit. Right? If you just get praise, then Chanakya says the son and the disciple must receive chastisement. Otherwise, they do not develop good character, good quality. My father was very strict. He was very strict. Not too strict, but he was strict. And my mother also. And it was good. It was good. I appreciate, when I look back now, I can appreciate it was good. Because I saw other children, they were not treated as strictly. But I learned some manners. I learned to be well behaved because of the corrections. You know, if I stepped out of line, immediately, it was there. So this is the nature of the guru. The guru is meant to chastise. Right? And actually, it is said that an advanced devotee, if a disciple who is advanced, he only needs to get chastisement from the guru. A neophyte devotee needs lots of praise. Oh, you're doing so well and like this and, you know, like that. And then once in a while the guru. But if you're advanced, the guru would just say, hey, this, like that. And if you're very advanced, the guru hardly even has to tell you anything because you know what the guru wants. That's first class. So when someone's advanced in Krishna consciousness, they appreciate being corrected. So we should learn to appreciate being corrected. If you can be humble, then you can make advancement. If you're not humble, you can't advance. Any points?
Yeah. That reminds me, we were in Malabarampa once, and Tamalakrishna Goswami was there, and after Prabhupada left, then Tamalakrishna Goswami was so much respected by everybody. Bhavan, my Guru Maharaj, everybody was consulting Tamalakrishna Goswami for advice and everything. So, because Tamalakrishna Goswami did such a great service for his con, that everybody loved him, and they really loved him like him. We went to Jabalagasami. He was asking questions, answers, so many things in front of him. With so much great respect. So even the brothers, senior brothers, so much respect. You have to learn.
What's that?
He was very strict.
Yeah, he was very strict.
You are very soft at heart.
Any other points? Yeah, Chandra Haridas was one.
One more pastime where the widow mother should have a little son, he'll be always going and meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
And then this Ramachandra, he actually said, he said, don't meet this boy because everybody will talk that his mother is young and she will know. So it's very interesting to that. Even he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing that.
Damodar Pandit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy was talking about Chaitanya.
Yeah.
So then he just said, I will never see you again. Yeah. And then so somebody commented, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, I'll give him a convenience for birth. And then he was so happy.
No, that was Mukunda.
Mm-hmm.
Chota Haridasi chastised him, sent him away.
Mm-hmm.
But then Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya said, go away.
Okay.
And then he went, and then he was crying, and the devotees came and said, Lord Chaitanya, I will see him after 1 million births.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told him, and then he was happy.
And then he called him immediately.
Yeah, they said, okay, no comeback. Krishna is testing us. About which one? Damodar Pandit? Damodar Pandit. Then, yeah, Damodar Pandit, his position was he was so strict, he would even chastise Mahaprabhu. If Lord Chaitanya was doing even something which is just a little bit, then Damodar Pandit would correct him. And it said that Lord Chaitanya was scared of Damodar Pandit. No? Because Damodar Pandit would say to Lord Chaitanya, you know, you have to be strict. If you are a sannyasi, be strict. And then even Lord Chaitanya would be.
He
was a little boy. Lord Chaitanya was conversing, but the mother was single. She didn't have a husband. There's no father. So then he chastised. He said, why are you talking to the boy? Huh? Because the mother is there. He said, you should be more strict as a sannyasi. That's how strict he was. Yeah, I mean, these are pastimes. Sometimes there are sad things, but there are pastimes of being taught. Sometimes they're very strict. Lord Chaitanya would be very strict. Like he'd say to Chota Haridas, away, like this. But Lord Chaitanya always feels for his devotees, but sometimes he has to teach. Very strictly.
So the
So another point that Prabhupada makes in the purport is that we have to seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas. We're always looking for the Vaishnavas to bless us. And devotees say this all the time, please bless me, please bless me. But if you want to get the blessings of the devotees, you have to do service. You don't walk around all day saying, please bless me, please bless me. Because that's what everyone does. Everyone walks around and goes, give me your blessings, give me your blessings. Then do something. Right? Serve the devotee and the devotee will bless you. Do some service. Do something practical. Don't just come up and say, oh Prabhuji, please give me your blessings. Then what is that? But if you do service for the devotee, then automatically the devotee will bless you. That is the actual way to get the blessings. So do something practical. Right? Who becomes recognized? Right? You see in Srila Prabhupada's Leela, Leelamrita, who became recognized by Prabhupada? Those who preached Krishna consciousness. Those who took a risk. And if you look at the original GBC, when Prabhupada established the original 11 members, and that became the zonal acharya system, which was a mishap. But when Prabhupada established, if you look at those 11, why did he choose them? No, because they all took a risk to spread Krishna consciousness. No, and Prabhupada recognized the sacrifice of those devotees. Therefore, he gave them recognition. So if you want to get the blessings of the devotees, which we do, you have to do practical service. So when the sannyasis come, when the advanced devotees come, when any devotee is there, by doing service, then they bless you. Not that you just walk up to them. You know, people walk up all day long. Oh, give me your blessings. Give me your blessings. I thought, what is that? Do something practical. So if you serve, then you will automatically get the blessings because the devotee will look at you kindly. He's seen. He is doing service. So automatically he looks at you kindly. That is the blessing. I know myself, over the years I've been a devotee, I've seen a number of times, I haven't very distinctly, I remember one time a sannyasi was not happy with me and he walked past me and I was chanting and my chanting was very blissful. I was feeling very happy. I was chanting nicely. He walked past me and he wasn't happy and he looked at me and immediately all the taste disappeared. Just by his glance. Because if he looks at you favourably, you will get so much benefit. But if they're not satisfied with you because of your attitude, because of your pride, your lack of humility, then immediately they just look at you and then... I don't know, another time I can remember, sannyasi looked at me a couple of times I can remember, it had deep impact on my spiritual life. Just because they looked at me favourably. So that is the potency of the blessings of the advanced devotees. But you have to do practical service. When they see you doing service, then they will bless you. But if you're just wandering around sentimentally, then it won't work. Any other points? Okay. There was a beating of kettle drums in the heavenly planets. The inhabitants of Gandhava Loka began to dance and sing, while great sages and inhabitants of Charana Loka and Siddha Loka offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama. The best of the Gandhavas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devila Muni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head and began chanting prayers, just suitable for the Transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. Chaitanya Prabhu.
The story of how the Gandharva had become a crocodile will be described later. The curse by which the Gandharva took this position was actually a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a sinful person curses someone, for this curse indirectly is a blessing. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system, and for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devila Rishi, he became a crocodile and in only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world to become one of the Lord's associates. Similarly, Gajendra was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was freed from the curse of the Agastya Muni.
So what are the points here?
The curse of blessing of a devotee is always good for a person, as we also see in Narayana's passing. Similarly here also, the curse was given to both the Gandharva and the Gandharva, they both turned out to be blessings.
No, the crocodile went to Gandhava Loka.
Yes.
But the elephant went to Vaikuntha.
Actually, in the purport, there's a bit of moksha. went to Gandhava Loka, but in this purpose, there is a lot of fear I can take from.
That's also been a bad spring, wasn't it? Got it. Is it? Yeah. So maybe it's just a mistake. That's all. Just a mistake. Because if you read the section, then it doesn't say that. It says that he went to Gandhava Loka. Prabhupada made mistakes sometimes. It wasn't like Prabhupada didn't make mistakes. There's one pastime where Hari Sori Prabhu is reading, and he goes into Prabhupada's room, because Hari Sori and Prabhupada's in the next room. He takes in and he shows Prabhupada. He said, there's a mistake here. Prabhupada said, what is that? So he showed him and he read, and Prabhupada said, yeah, you're right. It's a mistake. So Prabhupada made mistakes sometimes. It's not like us. Doesn't mean the Prabhupada's not pure. Just sometimes, you know, maybe Prabhupada just repeated himself or something like that. There's one lecture, actually. You listen. If you listen to all of Prabhupada's lectures, one lecture, and Prabhupada's giving class, and he says, I am Krishna. Right? And then all the devotees start to laugh. Because they can see Prabhupada's obviously, there's like a slip of the tongue. Prabhupada said, I am Krishna. And then everyone starts laughing. And then 5 minutes later, he says it again. He says, I am Krishna. And everyone laughs again. And then Prabhupada starts laughing as well. So it's just a slip of the tongue, something like this. Doesn't mean the Prabhupada's not pure. It just means some mistake. Okay. Any other points? Anything else? What's that?
Only the very advanced people get cursed.
Yeah, maybe. Depends. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out in his commentary that Krishna is famous for delivering his devotees. So if someone surrenders to Krishna, Krishna will deliver them. He always takes care of the devotees. So when he sees Gajendra, he's offering prayers to him, right? Then automatically he comes. And he reciprocates with Gajendra. So Krishna will always reciprocate with the devotees. That is called Bhaktavatsala. And the Bhaktavatsala, that is Krishna's greatest quality. Of all of his qualities, right? His love for his devotees supersedes everything. It is the topmost quality of Krishna. So whenever Krishna sees, because he is achutya, which means infallible, it means whenever he sees a devotee is serving him, Krishna will reciprocate. But how he reciprocates, that's up to Krishna. And we see in the 10th canto, in the pastime of the Krishna with the gopis, to increase their glory and to increase their attachment for him, he separates himself from them. So Krishna, he will reciprocate with the devotees as he decides to. It's according to his desire, his will. But Krishna always reciprocates. If we're surrendering to Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate. Nothing we do for Krishna, if it's done sincerely, nothing is... what's that?
Ignored.
Nothing is ignored. Right? Everything is seen by Krishna. Right? And he's always ready to reciprocate as soon as we are serving him. So Gajendra is offering prayers and immediately Krishna delivers. Any points? Having been favoured by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and having regained his original form, King Huhu circumambulated the Lord and offered his obeisances. Then, in the presence of all the demigods, headed by Brahma, he returned to Gandhava Loka. He had been freed from all sinful reactions. So Krishna's association frees us from all sin. This is discussed by Rupa Goswami in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, that bhakti, it destroys sin And it also destroys kuta and bija, which means the desire for sin and the proclivity towards sin. Sinful proclivity, as well as actually committing sins. That's the power of devotion. So anything we do which connects us to Krishna destroys that. And Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. So anything you do in devotional service that pushes away the desires to perform sinful activity. So Srila Prabhupada said at the end of the Gita in his purport, he says, design your life in such a way that 24 hours a day you cannot help but think of Krishna. In other words, don't give yourself any opportunity for Maya. Because Maya is just waiting to slip in when there's an opportunity. As soon as an opportunity, Maya will come. So in order to avoid Maya, right, keep yourself fully absorbed in Krishna's service. Because we understand that milk and ink cannot exist simultaneously. Right? So when you pour milk into a glass of ink, the ink separates. Right? And it runs out and then you're left with just milk. So if you just keep putting Krishna into your consciousness, eventually all the Maya will disappear. And the final stage of Krishna consciousness, the final quality, which Rupa Goswami discusses in Nectar of Devotion, in Prema Bhakti, it is called Sandrananda Visheshatma, which means your consciousness is so absorbed or so... what's the word that they use? It is so...
Condensed,
yeah. So condensed, so full of Krishna, Maya cannot enter. Because there's no room. There's only Krishna. There's only a desire to serve Guru and Krishna. So for us, on our level, right, we fill our consciousness constantly with a desire to serve the spiritual master. Just keep yourself absorbed in service to the spiritual master. And then you don't have any opportunity for Maya to enter. But as soon as you lapse, as soon as you stop doing service, then Maya will just immediately come in. So keep all sins away by positive engagement. So Krishna says, param drishtva nivartate. Right? Something better, right? If you're doing something superior, then automatically you give up the lower thing. But otherwise you won't give Maya up, unless you get a taste. What is
it?
Yeah, it shouldn't stop coming late either. Any other points?
Even Lord Krishna said in the
'Cause Gajendra, king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed of all ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Swarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. Mahatma Prabhu.
He won his favor by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by having his gross body touched by the Lord. His body turns into spiritual body and he can go back home, back to Godhead. Gajendra assumed his spiritual body and his body was touched by the Lord. Similarly, Prabhu Maharaj assumed his spiritual body in this way. Archana Padati, daily worship of the deity, provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by hearing about his pastimes, chanting his glories, touching his feet, and offering worship. In other words, by serving the Lord sometime, somehow or the other, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. One who is pure devotee, unambitious Krishna, who acts according to Shastra and words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly becomes purified. Like Gajendra, he assumes his spiritual body and returns home back to God.
What are the points?
Srila Prabhupada is telling how by touch of the Lord all contamination is gone and we are fit to go to the future. And he gives so many more through Maharaj, Gajendra, and even by hearing the glories also, you can get purified. As just now said.
Anything else?
The opportunity to do deity worship is the causeless mercy of the Lord.
Any other?
Just about 10 days back or something, Karna Guru had sent for me. Have you seen the proposal between deity worship and idol worship? Did you read that? It was a nice evening also, maybe a very nice.
So, Jnanivas Prabhu told me he is our head pujari in Mayapur. He's been serving Radha Madhava in Mayapur for 40 years continuously. So, he is a pure devotee of Krishna. Prabhupada said he is a pure devotee of Krishna. So he told me, he said, it is told in our philosophy that when we leave this body, if we are ready, we go to the universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and we get trained by the residents of Vrindavan. And once we are trained in the material universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes in Gokul, then we go to Goloka from there. But he told me that Prabhupada said that the pujaris go straight to Goloka because they're directly serving Krishna. And Prabhupada taught us that the service we do to the deities is non-different from directly serving Krishna, because the deity is non-different from Krishna. So when you're serving the deity, you're directly serving the Lord himself. Same. Any deity. Where the Lord is installed, if you are serving, then you're directly serving the Lord. Srila Prabhupada said in his very final days, in 1977 in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said that the pujaris of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan are the most fortunate living entities in the universe. Which means any devotee who's serving the deities, because all these deities here, they're installed by Srila Prabhupada himself. So if you're directly serving, right, then you are the most fortunate living entity in the universe. Why? Because all the services that we do for the deities are non-different from the services which are done in Goloka. You're cooking, they're cooking in Goloka, they're cooking here. You're making garlands here, they're making garlands in Goloka. They're dressing here, they're dressing Krishna in Goloka. Right? We're making tambula, or sandalwood pulp, or picking the tulsi. Everything is exactly the same. So it is nitya seva, which means it is eternal service. And if we serve in the right consciousness, it is non-different from being in Goloka Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one day, while I was worshipping the deity in my home, I saw my house turn into Goloka Vrindavan. So if we are worshipping in the right consciousness, then Goloka Vrindavan will manifest one day to us. So that is the potency of deity worship. And therefore, Prabhupada instructed that all of us take second initiation from our spiritual master, and we must worship the deities in the temple. We worship our deities at home, but we must worship the deities in the temple. Because the deities in the temple, in this particular temple, were installed by Prabhupada himself. Very powerful deities. It is non-different from serving Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. We just have to elevate our consciousness. So all of us should aspire to become pujaris for the deity and do direct seva. Now Srila Prabhupada has taught us that in Kali Yuga, you can go back to Godhead just by dancing and chanting in front of the deity of Gaur Nittai. So even if you don't directly go onto the altar, in Kali Yuga, Nam Sankirtan is so powerful that even just by dancing and chanting on Gaura Purnima in front of Gaur Nittai, you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. That's how powerful Harinam Sankirtan is. No, this is the potency. But if you get the opportunity, you should take Vaishnav Diksha, which means second initiation in ISKCON, and we should enter onto the altar and we should directly serve the deities. And as Prabhupada said, we are the most fortunate opportunity. For many years, I used to bathe Gaur Nittai after Mangalati. We bathe large Gaur Nittai. For many years, I did that service. And before we did the service, we would always put our head on the feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And it's non-different. And I remember when I took initiation, second initiation, just in the temple, just down here, my guru put the Brahmin thread on me, and then he touched me on the knee, put his hand like that. And then I went onto the altar a few days later, and the first time I touched Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, it felt exactly the same. I could feel my guru's touch. It was fully spiritual, and the touch of the deity was fully spiritual. I never felt anything like that before. Because the body of the deity is fully spiritual. So when you touch the deity, it's fully spiritual. It purifies your consciousness. Therefore, it's said here that Gajendra was touched by the hand of the Lord. The Lord grabbed onto his trunk and pulled him out of the water. Because the crocodile was pulling. So the Lord grabbed his trunk and pulled him out of the water. So just by the touch of the Lord, he went back to the spiritual world. Now, Prabhupada points out in the purport, it is not just deity worship, it is any of the Nava Anga Bhakti, which means the nine processes of bhakti: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. Any of them, even one of them, has the potency to deliver us back to Goloka Vrindavan, if we do it perfectly. So each of the nine processes, there's one person who personifies perfection in that particular anga. Shravanam is? Who became perfect through Shravanam? Hearing. Kirtanam. Shukadeva Goswami. He was. Smaranam. Prahlad Maharaj. He remembered Krishna perfectly. Archanam. Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj. Archanam. Vandanam. Akrura. Pada Sevanam. Lakshmi. Dasyam. Hanuman. Sakyam. Arjuna. And Atma Nivedanam. Bali Maharaj. And we'll hear about Bali Maharaj soon. In a couple of months, we'll go into the pastime of Bali Maharaj. So any of those nine limbs of devotion, if you do it perfectly, you will go back to Goloka Vrindavan. That is the potency of bhakti. Because when you're doing bhakti, you're directly contacting Krishna. And when you contact Krishna, you become pavitra. You become purified. So by directly serving Krishna, the deity, or any of the angas, by absorbing ourselves, and that is what Gaur Purnima is for. Right? In Gaur Purnima, you give up all material responsibility. Right? If you can. Right? All your material responsibilities, just give it up. Right? And one day you just serve Mahaprabhu completely. And all of the service you do, it directly connects you to Lord Chaitanya and purifies your consciousness. So serve the deity in any way that you can. Cut vegetables for the deity, cook the offering for the deity. We're going to do a big Harinam Sankirtan. Kananda Kanamaraj is going to take us through Melbourne for hours doing Harinam Sankirtan. So any of the services, making garlands, decorating the temple, cleaning the temple, any service, anything you do is directly serving the Lord. And it purifies your consciousness. Okay. Any points?
What is this Sarupya Mukti Kadendra Das, same teachers as the Lord. So then he is saying that he went to Vaikuntha, so these five liberations, this four, of course, not that we don't desire, we don't desire. The other point, they go to Vaikuntha, so spiritual world is Goloka, yes, Vaikuntha is not a spiritual world, but they go to that, these four liberations, they go to Vaikuntha.
Yeah. Or Goloka. He went to Vaikuntha, yeah. But some devotees go to Goloka. Swarupya, Salokya. Salokya means the planet. So either if you have Vaikuntha Bhav, you go to Vaikuntha planet Salokya. But if you have Goloka Bhav, you go to Goloka Vrindavan, to that planet. Right? Shashti. Same opulence. So you go to Goloka, you go to Vaikuntha, get the opulence, or you go to Goloka, which is more opulent, and you go to, you get the opulence. And Samipya.
As an associate.
Yeah, as an associate. So you go there, you get the association. In Dasya, because in Vaikuntha there was only Dasya. Or you go to Goloka, there is Sakya, Vatsalya, and Maduya. And then Swarupya. Swarupya means you go to Vaikuntha, you get a form that looks like Narayan. Four arms, bluish, but the difference is he has Sri Vatsa. He has one blonde piece of hair on his chest called Sri Vatsa, which makes him different to everyone else. And he also has Kostubha Mani, one jewel, which no one else has. So he is different to everyone. And if you go to Goloka, you get Swarupya. Means you get a spiritual body like Krishna, but you don't look like Krishna. Krishna looks like Krishna. In Goloka it says, in Brahma Samhita it says, the devotees have different coloured forms. I think it says they have, some have bluish forms, some have greenish forms, some have reddish forms, some have yellowish forms. So everyone has different hues. Mother Yashoda, she also has that bluish form, like Krishna. She looks that colour like Krishna. Sham. So devotees have different colours. Radharani, the gopis have like a golden colour, a yellowish colour. Some have reddish, some have like greenish. Different. Okay. Any other points?
I was just wondering, Brahman, who was very poor, and used to meditate on Vaishnavi, and he had a man got burnt.
He was just saying that the care is very more. So, what kind of mind anger is out of mind anger? Maybe
Smaranam. Yeah, Smaranam or Archanam. Because. Archanam was doing everything.
Yeah, he was doing everything.
He was remembering and he was praying and chanting.
So then you answered the question.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, he's doing all the different items. Archanam, if you read in the Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami says that one of the ways that we can worship the deity is called Manasa Puja. That's also part of deity worship.
So what does it come under?
Archanam. Both of them.
And
Vandanam and Archanam, like that. So both of them. This Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnava and the king of the country known as Punjab, which is the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life, he was known as Indrajumna Maharaj. Indrajumna Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malaya Hills, where he had a small cottage for his ashram. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing the vow of silence, he was fully engaged in the worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. When Indrajumna Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great sage Agastya Muni arrived there, surrounded by his disciples. When the Munis saw that Maharaj Indrajumna, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of offering him a reception, he was angry. So we learn from the Bhagavatam, Vedic culture. And Vedic culture means you must always receive a guest appropriately. It is called atithi. That even if the guest comes untimely, unannounced, the guest comes, you must receive them appropriately. So it is said that we should offer the guest all facility which is available. So we should give them a place to rest, a place to bathe, fresh cloth, prasadam. We should bathe their feet, offer sandalwood pulp, garlands, right? All facility must be offered. The minimum facility that we can offer is a glass of water, if we cannot give anything else. And then it says, if you cannot give that, just give a place to sit. Even if it's just a straw mat, but you must offer a place to sit. And if you cannot give anything else, then you must give sweet words. You must at least offer some nice words, a place to sit, some water, if you can't offer anything else. But the point is, in Vedic culture, you must receive the guest appropriately. Otherwise, you incur sinful reactions. If the guest comes to your home, but you do not offer them full facility, then it is considered to be sinful. But you see here, he was in meditation. Same as Maharaj Parikshit. That's how Maharaj Parikshit became caused. The Sringi became angry. Samipya, or Samika, the son. Then the father put the garland around his neck because he walked in, he was in trance. So there's no fault here by Maharaj Indrajumna, but still some curse is there. So same as Parikshit Maharaj, he saw the curse. Sometimes when something negative happens to us, it's an arrangement of Krishna. Krishna is arranging so that we can become purified. So sometimes Krishna arranges these difficult circumstances in our life to purify us. So similarly here, he sees, okay, I've been cursed, but maybe that's Krishna's desire. Now I can focus on my devotional service. Was it? No, it says that he was absorbed in his trance meditation. So. What can I say? So far, my conclusion in this lifetime is that this world is unfair. It's not an easy place. But a devotee sees that anything which is happening must be coming from the previous reactions. But then what happened?
Worshipping Guru. This is one of the best questions.
Yeah, a devotee thinks, we have to learn to think when something negative happens to us, it's Krishna's mercy. So that's how the devotee looks. And at the end you saw he got everything, so how can we say, we can't say it was bad. Maybe it was just destroying his final pieces of karma. He went to Vaikuntha. That says, he went straight. He got Sarupya, so he went straight to it.
And in Gita also, the chapter of the Revealed, Krishna says that those who are doing devotion, for them nothing bad can happen. It's all like, you know, Suchinal, Nahi Kalyan, Kasti, Durvati, Satavichati. Nothing bad can happen once a poor transcendent finish. It's always good in the next, very quickly he will be done.
Very good.
And you see, the way I say, you know, it came to lecture, Lord Shiva was meditating. And that's why he didn't get up. But for that, because it was not Lord Shiva's fault, he was meditating.
Yeah.
So King Daksha has to suffer. So,
yeah.
I mean, in this condition, the Agastya Muni, he's such a great person, he's the brother of Vasishtha Muni. And these people know the past, present and future. So he should have known that these are the meditation. So why did he say that? But that curse was on his level. But it is the king and the Yuna was to suffer.
Only your husband can answer this question. TK? Very good question. Very good point. It's very good. It is a good point, but I can't answer it. Agastya Muni then spoke this curse against the king. This king Indrajumna is not at all gentle. Being low and uneducated, he has insulted a brahmana. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. So if we become proud, we will get reactions. Right. And we see whenever we become proud, right, immediately Krishna will humble us. So we see that in this pastime. If some pride is there, then you'll get the reactions immediately. Yeah, I'm just drawing the example. It may not be he was proud, but I'm just taking the general lesson that if we become proud, then just like Brihaspati, I was not offered respect by Indra because of pride. That's the lesson. Not that he was doing it. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indrajumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord." So you see, under all circumstances, a devotee must not give up surrendering and serving Krishna. And whatever reactions will come in this life, we just accept them, but we don't stop our service. That's the point. Because the reactions, you can't stop the reactions. We can't stop the negative karma from our previous births in this world. Right? It will come upon us. But the point is, the devotee, he does not stop worshipping Krishna. And if he doesn't stop worshipping Krishna, then the kingdom of God becomes his rightful inheritance. As mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So we just keep serving. Right? And it's guaranteed your life will become difficult. Guaranteed. If it's not difficult already, it will become. And if it's difficult, don't worry, it'll become more difficult. That's the material world. And if you think it's bad, it gets worse. Tamal Krishnamurti said that actually, not long before he left this world. He says, everybody says everything will get better. He said, actually, it gets worse. That's the material world. Everything will just get more and more difficult. But regardless of what happens, whether things are good or bad, we just serve Krishna.
We are so very correct.
What's that?
We are so very correct.
Yeah. I have experience. Whenever my life is bad, it gets worse. But we just keep serving Krishna. There's nothing else to do. Upon delivering the king of the elephants from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which resembles a crocodile, the Lord awarded him the status of Sarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, and other demigods who were praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord sitting on the back of his carrier, Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. So we see this is the result of doing devotional service. Krishna will give us everything in due course of time. When he sees we are qualified, he will give everything to us. And I've said before that famous pastime. I've listened to my spiritual master, Tamal Krishnamurti. I've listened to thousands of hours of his lectures. And the one pastime he tells, more than any other pastime, he was sitting on the balcony with Prabhupada in the Juhu Towers. There's a balcony there outside Prabhupada. So he was sitting with Prabhupada on the balcony. And he was saying to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, it is so difficult. Every day I have to go to the lawyer's office. I'm learning all the bylaws. I don't even know the shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita, but I know all the bylaws of the Bombay municipality." And he said, "My life is so difficult. I go into the office before the sun comes up. I go out after the sun has gone down." He said, and he was just going on and on. And Prabhupada just stopped him. And Prabhupada said, "For so many lifetimes, you've served so many masters. In this one lifetime, you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the end of your life, whatever you are lacking, Lord Chaitanya will cover that and he will take you back to Godhead." So that's it. We just do our best in this lifetime. Right? As good as we can, we just give as much as we can to Krishna and Lord Chaitanya will take us back to the spiritual world. And we've seen so many devotees already in our movement have gone back to Godhead. So many devotees have gone back. Even some of the devotees revealed their swarup before they left. Were you there that year? We went to Mayapur, Niguna. Was that the year we went? Yeah. One devotee, Niguna Prabhu, he was Prabhupada's disciple. So the final days, he was in Mayapur the last 6 months before he left this world. And he had cancer, so he was dying. And then in the final weeks and final months before he left, he told the devotees, he said, I'm a Manjari.
Sorry?
He said, "I am a Manjari." Yeah, Krishna revealed to him his eternal relationship with Krishna. So, now if we just serve Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya will take us back to the spiritual world. Just give one lifetime.
And the example,
once a week. Once a week. Yeah. The big deities.
Yes,
he dressed once a week.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that. But in his room, he dressed every day.
Yeah. He has so many shalikas. Only one day they left Mata. This Prabhu can go anytime. That day I happen to go and see his room. Amazing. So much shalikas. He put it all
just
big burning.
Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
So please keep up with your fees for the course. Be regular with your fees. And next week we'll continue chapter 4.